Last time we were together on the pastor's study, we began a Bible lesson entitled David, A Man After God's Own Heart. And we're going to continue our study there in just a moment. But before we begin, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great God being a great God that thou art. And we thank you for this opportunity to open up thy very words. We just pray that you'd bless our lesson today and bless the listener, Lord, and save the lost soul. Father, we just pray you'd have your will and your way in our study today, and we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We began in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. And in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, the words of Almighty God say this, "And when he had removed him," and the him is Saul, God removed Saul as king over Israel, "he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said," and here's the testimony that God gave about David, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." A couple of things we see about David, his testimony about David, that David was a man after God's own heart. And also God knew that David would fulfill all of God's will. So, what a statement to be made about an individual. And it's God made the statement, "A man after mine own heart." And as we think about this statement, this should be the testimony that God should say, could be able to say about each and every one of us that claim to be a Christian or disciple of Christ. Amen. We know that David was not only a physical ancestor of Christ according to the flesh, but he also possessed many characteristics or attitudes that were later perfected by Christ. And these same characteristics should be a part of all of us who are disciples of Christ. Each one of us should have these characteristics. And last time we began to consider some of these attitudes that David had, and we started to look at the similarities between his attitude and those of Christ. Amen. In fact, part of this lesson is to encourage all of us who are Christians to have these same attitudes so that we too might be people after God's own heart. Amen. So what were some of these attitudes about David and Christ? Well, we saw, number one, that David loved the Word of God, just as Christ loved the Word of God. And we saw, second of all, that David loved to pray, just as Christ was also a man of prayer. Now, the third thing we want to pick up and see is that David loved to praise God. David loved to praise God. I believe that's one of the things lacking in most Christians' lives today, is we don't praise God enough. We blame him enough, don't we, when things don't go our way? But, you know, we're to praise him no matter if things go the way we think they should go or they don't. But notice with me again, let's turn to that great Psalm 119. And in verse 164, notice what David said here. Psalm 119, 164, verse 164. "Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments." And again, I made the comment last time in the study that Psalm 119 is most of it, all the verses just about, deal with the Word of God. But here we see David, he praised God seven times a day. Amen. Seven times. How many times a day do you praise God? Amen? Or I praise God. I point the finger at me as well. But notice he praised God. Why? Because of thy righteous judgment. Because of God's words. and that we know that man's judgment is not righteous, but we can count on God, and his words are righteous. And when he judges in righteousness. Amen? He's not partial. He can't be influenced. So when God judges, we know the outcome is the right outcome because he judges in righteousness. Amen. So we praise God because of God's righteous judgments. Also see that he praised God because of his greatness and loving kindness. He praised God because of God's greatness and loving kindness. Look at it in Psalm 95. Psalm 95, beginning in verse 1. We read, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord." How many of us sing unto the Lord each day? Amen. Make a melody in our heart. We should have some of those great hymns of the faith, amen, in our song books memorized as well, and we can go about and sing unto the Lord each day. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Do you see that? When we come before his presence, it should be with thanksgiving. Not with complaining, not with pointing fingers and finding fault with God, but with thanksgiving, my friends. And make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Amen. Verse 3 with me. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. Amen. And in his hands are the deep places of the earth, the strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. See, what we're seeing here is the awesomeness of God, the power of God, just how big he really is. You know, isn't it funny sometimes? Here we see our God that made the sea and his hands that formed the dry land, and we don't think he can handle our little itty-bitty problems, amen. What's wrong with us? Amen? Verse 6, Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. That's who made you. The Lord God. Amen. But we got this stupidity with this evolution stuff. You know, that we crawled up out of the water or it just happened. No, my friend, the Maker, our Maker, our Creator is the Lord God. The same one who wrote this book. Amen. For he is our God and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Amen. We see that David praised God because of his greatness and loving kindness as expressed here in this psalm. And David was determined. Yes, he was. He was determined to sing praises as long as he lived. Psalm 104, verse 33. Psalm 104, verse 33. The words of Almighty God say this: I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Is that your attitude? David said, I will praise God as long as I am alive, as long as I have breath. Amen. And amen. And that should be our heart attitude. To praise God, amen, because of his righteous judgment. Amen. Because of his greatness, his loving kindness. We have so much to be thankful for, my dear friends. to praise God about. Amen. See? We shouldn't come before God with our jaws dropped down and our face of sadness. Oh, we have so much to be thankful for. Amen. If you're alive today, praise God. If you're saved, praise God. If you have food on your table, shoes on your feet, clothes on your back, praise Almighty God. Praise Him. When you start praising God, guess what? Those problems that you thought you had are gone away. Praise God. Amen. Something else here. Jesus also loved to praise God, as He did on one occasion publicly in prayer. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. You know, David is a picture or type of Christ in the Old Testament, is he not? In Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Matthew 11, 25 and 26. We read this. Jesus said, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in all thy sight." He also praised God with his disciples. We read at the what's traditionally known as the Last Supper, after they had finished, they went out of the Mount of Olives, it says in Matthew 26, verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Amen. Singing is one of the ways to praise God. Jesus praised the Father. Let me ask you, my dear friends, do you love to praise God? Do you delight in singing praises to God in song? Do you take time to praise God in your prayers? Amen. You know, part of your prayer, amen, part of prayer, your prayer to God is to praise Him during that prayer time. Amen. Give testimony. Praise Him by yourself, or if with your other believers, having a time of prayer. I got a testimony. I want to praise God because of whatever it is. And my friends, each and every one of us, each and every day, has something to praise God about. Once again, David has words to encourage us in this activity of praising God. We turn back to Psalm 147. And in Psalm 147, the words of God say in verse number 1, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely." Praise is a positive thing in the Christian's life. It's good. It's pleasant. It's comely. Amen. Thus, it is becoming for those who profess to be children of God to praise the Heavenly Father. Amen. David, a man after God's own heart. We're looking at his attitudes, his characteristics. David not only loved the Word of God, loved to pray, loved to praise God, but here it is. He loved unity among the brethren. Unity among the brethren. Why isn't things getting done for the Lord today? Because a lot of churches do not have the unity as they should have. How many churches do we hear are splitting over foolishness, over fleshly things that the devil has been able to get in there and cause, amen, discord among the brethren? Notice what David said in Psalm 133. In Psalm 133, with me, in verse number 1, the words of God say this: Behold, how good and how pleasant is it for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Unity, amen? Together. We need to be in unity, the brethren, if anything is to be accomplished for Christ. Satan tries to get in and conquer and divide. Oh, you're saved, amen, but he wants to keep you from serving God, is he not, or that church doing anything for God. David knew the value of good friendship and unity, as exemplified in the relationship that he had with Jonathan, the son of Saul. And of course, Saul was his enemy, was he not? Saul, who was king at the time, time and time again, tried to kill David. Look at Samuel, 1 Samuel, in chapter number 18, 1 Samuel 18, verse number 1. Notice what the words of God have to say in 1 Samuel 18, verse number 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. I love that word, knit. Intertwined, amen. You ladies that do a lot of knitting knows what it means to knit something. And it's strong. The bond is strong through the knitting. As he loved, Jonathan loved David as his own soul. Amen. But David also knew the terrible pains of division within a family. For his sons, for example, Amnon and Absalom. In 2 Samuel 13, we see that Amnon rapes his half-sister Tamar, who was Absalom's sister. And Absalom got his half-brother drunk and had his servants kill him. And David did not intervene at all. And this brought division within the family. Jesus loved unity as also, amen. He prayed diligently that his disciples might be one. We see in the Lord's Prayer to the Father, amen, in chapter 17 of John, beginning in verse 20 down to verse 23, we read this: Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. In the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Verse 23, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. He also, our Lord, he died on the cross that we might have unity, that we be unified. He died on the cross for that, amen? In Ephesians chapter 2, in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13 through 16, we read this in the Word of God: But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he in our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. That one new man is the church. and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, there it is, by the cross, having slain enmity thereby. Now the question we need to ask ourselves, do you and I love unity enough to pay the price? Do you and I love unity enough to pay the price? See, by diligently displaying the proper attitudes necessary to preserve the unity of Christ, amen, that Christ has accomplished through his death. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 30 through 32, here's our attitudes, the proper attitude that we need to display so we can have unity that Christ has accomplished through his death. Ephesians chapter 4 with me, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All of those things, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice, grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 32, and be ye kind. This is the attitude that needs to be displayed if we're going to have unity in the church. And be ye kind, one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. If we want unity in our church, we need to be kind one to another. We need to be tenderhearted. We need to forgive one another. My goodness, if Christ forgave us, we should be able to forgive others of the brethren. Amen? Also, to keep unity in the church, how do we do that? By marking those who needlessly cause division. Call them out. Yes. There is such a thing as church discipline. When someone gets out of line and isn't living for God the way they should and causing division in the church. In Romans chapter 16, verse 17, the words of God say, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Mark them, avoid them. Because they'll destroy the church. They'll take away the unity. They'll sow discord amongst the brethren. Another thing, our last thing about David, his attitude, as we see that he's a man after God's own heart. He had the right attitudes about things. David hated every false way. Every false way. In Psalm 119, 104, the words of God say this, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. David knew through the words of God, he obtained understanding to know what was false. Amen? And he hated it. Why? Because it won against the word of God, the truth. See, his hatred was based upon not his flesh, but upon his understanding of God's precepts. And that his hatred affected his selection of activities and friends. Look at in Psalm 101 with me. Psalm 101. See? He hated every false way. It was based upon God's words, his precepts. And also he hated, his hatred also affected his selection of activities and friends. In Psalm 101, verse 3 to 8, he said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes, activity. I hate the work of them that turn aside, and it shall not cleave to me. Amen? People. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Who privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, and that they may dwell with me, and he that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, my friend. David hated every false way based on God's precepts. That's what that hate was. Amen. He hated it. He hated every false way. He hated people that were false and didn't live according to the Word of God. And it affected him in a good way. Amen. By affecting him to select only the right activities that were pleasing to God. And to select the right friends that were godly friends. In avoiding every false way. We also see that Jesus also hated error and false ways, as manifested in his driving the money changers out of the temple in Matthew 21. In Matthew 21, in verses 12 and 13, the words of God said, "And Jesus went into the temple of God, and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." Amen. Also, Jesus also hated error and false ways, as manifested in his denunciation of the hypocritical Pharisees, scribes, and lawyers. We see in Matthew 23, time and time again, Jesus would say to them, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, hypocrites." My friend, I ask you, what is your attitude toward false ways? Are you soft or compromising? Or do you realize that you are involved in the battle over the souls of men and are not to think lightly of that which is false? Turn with me, if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 5, through 5, 3 to 5. Words of God say this: "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Amen. Our battle is not a fleshly battle, a spiritual battle. And we must bring down and pull down every false and evil way, and bring into every thought into the obedience of Christ. While we are to have a burden for lost souls to be saved, you and I must ever hate sin. As we conclude, Acts 13:22, "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." What made David a man after God's own heart? David the son of Jesse, he said, which shall fulfill all my will. My friend, how about you? Are you motivated to do all of God's will? Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." My friend, will you be the apple of God's eye today? Will you be a man or woman after God's own heart? Well, that concludes our study. Thank you for joining me, Brother Gino, for the pastor's study today. I hope you join me next time. Until we meet again, may God richly bless each and every one of you and good day.